we all would like to be more physically fit.
You know, since this pandemic, I've seen more people walking throughout their neighborhoods, building their own gyms in their home. Everybody's working out the physical body.
But getting fit requires work and discipline.
But just like we need to work out the physical body and get our physical bodies in shape, we can exercise ourselves toward being more like God.
So the question is, how do we train to be more spiritually fit?
When we give thanks, that too is a spiritual discipline that helps us to become more spiritually fit.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. If thankfulness is the key to becoming spiritually fit, how are we to be thankful when it appears there's little to be thankful for? That's the question Charles Tapp helps answer this week as he examines closely Paul's letter to the Thessalonians when he says we should be thankful in all things. And if there was a time we needed this answer, it's now. As he shares his message, in all things, the discipline of gratitude.
You know, it goes without saying that this year, 2020, by far, has been the most, or at least one of the most challenging years that we have experienced in this country and probably in the world for quite some time. And it's not even over yet. And if I had to choose one word that best articulates the feeling that many of us are experiencing this year, 2020, it would have to be the word loss. For in many people's minds, this year has been the year where they have lost the values like truth and honesty in our country. There has been a record loss of employment, as well as a sense of loss of the principles of justice and righteousness. And sadly, of course, there has been an unprecedented loss of precious human life due to the result of a global pandemic that has caused the deaths of over 1 million innocent lives throughout this world. But many among us today, and all the things that we have lost, there's one thing that we stand to lose, dear friends, if we're not careful, and that is to lose a thankful spirit, to experience the loss of a grateful heart. But how can we truly be thankful when there, for most, if not all accounts, there's nothing really to be thankful for? And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, most of us would be willing to return to last year. I'm sure you've thought about it. Lord, take us back to 2019. No, it may not have been one of our best years. It may not even have been a good year for you, but there's one thing that last year had that this year does not have, and that is a sense of normalcy. And what I mean by normal is the usual, those things that we call typical, things that we can expect. Dear friends, you see, 2020 has robbed us of our normalcy. It has been a year that has been typified not by the usual, but by the unusual. Not by the typical, but by the atypical. Not by the expected, but rather by the unexpected. Which is why today I believe it's important for us as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, to turn to the Word of God for an answer for us today. And the answer that we hear today shout backs to us from the pages of Paul's letters to the believers at Thessalonica. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Look at what it says. In what? Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, because context is everything, I want us to consider Paul's words today in the light of what this bold and challenging statement and what precedes it. If we go back to the end of the previous chapter, Paul concludes it with what I believe are some of the most familiar words through all of Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, let's read what Paul says here. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Yes, you sorrow as others who have no," what, everybody? "No hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and," what, "rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." And he ends by saying in verse 18, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I don't believe I have ever spoken at a funeral of a believer where I have not used or shared these words of Paul here. I love Paul's words because he understands that even though you and I are believers, we still weep, we still grieve, we still shed tears when we lose someone that we love. But the difference is that although we weep, Paul says, it's not as those who have no hope. You see, the tears of a believer are shed with the assurance that if you and I remain faithful, we will see our loved ones who died in Christ again. Who says amen to that? That's the message at the end of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. But now we reach the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Paul's words now have taken on a completely different tone. You see, he ends chapter 4 with a word of comfort, but he begins chapter 5 now with a word of warning. In verses 1 to 11 of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul sets out to warn those who may not be ready for Christ to return. He refers to them by being asleep, to wake up, because he says Christ's return is going to be sudden. He says it's going to be like a thief who's going to rob you in the night, and a thief doesn't give you warning that he's coming. It's like a pregnant woman who's about to give birth. And you know anything about a pregnant woman, that child can come when he or she is ready to come, regardless of the date that the doctor may give. And what is interesting is that he ends the word of warning in the same way his word ends in 1 Thessalonians 4, and that is by admonishing his believers yet again to comfort one another. You see, the basic meaning of the word comfort in both the Old and New Testament is that of encouragement, whether it's encouraging someone in words or encouraging someone in deed. And sometimes the best help that you can give to someone to comfort them will come in a word to warn them. But in verse 12, until the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul now proceeds to give a list, a myriad of exhortations, of appeals. The first of which is the appeal to respect those who have been placed in leadership position over you, to admonish you and to encourage you. Here Paul is talking about in the context of the church, in the context of the body of Christ, that we should respect those who have been placed in leadership position. He then proceeds to give counsel how we are to handle the unruly. Now, don't think about anybody in particular right now. He then goes on to say how we should comfort the faint of heart and the weak, and how we need to be patient, Paul says, with both groups. We need to be patient with the unruly ones, and we need to be patient with the weak and faint of heart. And then Paul reminds us that in dealing with one another, that we should never seek evil for evil. Which now brings us back to our main passage for today. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 as we look at verses 16 to verse 18. Rejoice always. Delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for Christ in you. In these few verses, Paul shifts his focus now from warning to that of worship. And when Paul admonishes us as believers to rejoice always, he isn't advocating that we should always walk around in this happy state of being. That's just not being realistic. But what he is advocating is that we should worship God, and that our worship of God should always be one that expresses the joy of the Lord. And please don't miss this. When Paul is talking here about the joy of the Lord, he's not always talking about walking around with a smile on your face. The joy that he's talking about here is having the assurance that God is in control of every aspect of my life and every aspect of your life. That's what James meant when he says, count it all joy. Have this assurance that God is in control. And you'll see why Paul says that later when we get further in this passage. Paul then exhorts us as believers to pray without ceasing. Again, Paul isn't advocating that we walk around all day 24/7 in constant prayer, but rather his words are an invitation here to engage in serious and deliberate seasons of prayer. The very kind of prayer that is exemplified in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, where she was tenacious in her pursuit of justice from the unjust ruler. And I believe that if ever there was a time for the church, dear friends, to enter into a season of serious, deliberate, tenacious prayer, that time is right now. For it's time for God's people today to follow the counsel given in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. For God says to the people of God, humble yourselves and pray, seek my face, and to turn from your wicked ways. And God has promised that when you and I get serious about this thing, when we get serious about repentance, when we get serious about prayer, when you and I become serious and turn our hearts back to Him, that He will hear us from heaven, He will forgive our sin, and He will heal our land. And the time for healing in our land today, dear friends, is now. But it will not come about unless the people of God, that's you and that's me, we have to get serious about this thing. We can't wait for the government to come up with a solution. We can't wait for society to do it. God has placed this healing of the land on your shoulders and on mine. He says, if you do this, I will heal your land.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, In All Things. Simple Truths for Life is a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Hi, this is Pastor Charles Tapp. We here at Simple Truths for Life would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for joining us as we continue to pray for those who are being impacted firsthand by this awful virus that has a grip not only on our nation, but the world. As one of my favorite Christian writers has said, the only thing we have to fear for the future is if we forget how God has led us in the past. So as a way to encourage you along your journey, we here at Simple Truths would like you to have a free copy of my book, Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over. Shout Now, Clinging to God in Trying Times. In this book, I share how clinging to one of God's precious promises helped me make it through one of the most difficult times in my life. So to get your free copy of Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over, just go to Simple Truths for Life. .org. Again, that's simpletruthsforlife.org.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week, Charles Tapp examines closely Paul's letter to the Thessalonians when he says we should be thankful in all things, and how we are to be thankful when it appears there's little to be thankful for. As he concludes his message, in all things.
And it's in this context that Paul now says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, despite what we as followers of Christ are called to endure in this life, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, admonishes us to possess a spirit of gratitude, not in some things, but in every and all situations and circumstances of our lives. And he isn't saying here, please don't miss this, that we should give thanks for every situation, for every circumstance, that we should give thanks in every situation and not for every situation. How many of you give thanks for everything? I know I don't. Paul isn't saying give thanks for everything. Paul is saying give thanks in every situation. And the reason why Paul could say this is because this is the same Paul who has already acknowledged to the believers at Rome that all things, not some things, that all things do what? Work together for our good to those who have been called according to his purpose. And if all things are going to work together for good, then you and I as believers can give thanks in all things. Who says amen to that today? Let's look at this passage again. I want to read it from the Amplified Version again this time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Let's look at what it says. Rejoice always. And how do you rejoice? By delighting in your what? Faith. Be unceasing and persistent like that widow in prayer. Be tenacious. Hold on to God until the answer comes. Verse 18, in every situation, here it is in the Amplified, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Please don't miss this last part. For this is the will of God for you, for me, in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you and I to give thanks. Not for, but in. You know, it would be grossly negligent on our part as believers to thank God for this pandemic. I have never and will never thank God for this pandemic. But you and I can continue to be thankful to God in the midst of this pandemic. Because although we may have lost our sense of normalcy, we have not lost His presence in our lives in the midst of this pandemic. For although everything is changing in our lives, dear friends, there's one thing that is constant. There's one thing that will never change, and that is God's presence in our lives. God has promised. He says, listen, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm not going to go around thanking God for the pandemic. But because I know all things and God is in the midst working them out for our good, I can thank God in the pandemic. Because all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, if I'm faithful, if you're faithful, will work together for God's eternal good. But listen how Paul ends the admonition here. He says, for this is the will of God. What is the will of God? To be thankful in every situation. Which means then giving thanks, just like praying, just like rejoicing, just like fasting, just like giving, is a spiritual discipline. Let me share this definition with you today of a spiritual discipline. I share this with my students here at Washington Adventist University. A spiritual discipline, if you want to take a picture of this, you can do it now, is a habit when practiced how? Faithfully and regularly in your life, repeatedly brings you back to God. Please don't miss this last part. And opens you up to what God is saying to you. Do you get it? A spiritual discipline is a habit when practiced faithfully and regularly in your life, repeatedly brings you back to God and opens you up to what God is saying to you. A spiritual discipline, dear friends, is that which God has given us to bring us into closer and more intimate relationship with Him. A spiritual discipline is the practice which helps us as believers to become more spiritually fit. More spiritually fit. Look at how Paul puts it in 1 Timothy here, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject what? Profane and old wives' fables. Please don't miss this next part. And exercise yourself toward godliness. That word exercise in the Greek is the word gymnasia. It is where we get our word gymnasium from. How many of you love to work out? That's what Paul is saying here. He says, and exercise yourself and work yourself out. Build yourself up toward godliness. So in other words, Paul is saying that when you and I want to be more spiritually fit, dear friends, we have got to practice the spiritual disciplines, just as you and I work out. You know, since this pandemic, I've seen more people walking throughout their neighborhoods, building their own gyms in their home. Everybody's working out the physical body. But just like we need to work out the physical body and get our physical bodies in shape, Paul is saying that we can exercise ourselves toward being more like God. So when you and I pray, it helps to get us more spiritually fit so that we can be more like God. When we fast, when we give, but when we give thanks, Paul is saying that too is a spiritual discipline that helps us to become more spiritually fit. And research even tells us that when you and I, dear friends, have a grateful spirit and we are ready to give thanks in any and every situation, that it impacts us physically as well. You can sleep better. Your immune system is stronger. You're relieved of stress, all because you're willing to give thanks, not for, but in all things. Why? Because we're not thanking God for the thing. We're thanking God for who He is and who He is with us in the thing. I want to close today with this quote by Rick Warren. Some of you may be familiar with him, Christian writer, author, pastor. Look at what he says here. He says, in the happy moments, praise God. Amen? In the difficult moments, do what? Seek God. In the quiet moments, he admonishes us to do what? Worship God. In the painful moments, anybody ever had any painful moments? Some of you experienced some painful moments right now. He says that we are to trust God. But I love how he ends this, Patrick. He says, but in every moment, we are to thank God. In every situation. Why? For this is the will of God. And there is no better place for you and I to be as a believer than in the will of God. And that's what he wants for us today, to be thankful, to have a spirit of gratitude. But it's a spiritual discipline. It's a habit. It is not a feeling. We have to practice it faithfully and regularly, and what it ultimately does, it brings us into closer communion with God. If you don't believe me, try it. No matter what happens in your life, just say, thank God. No matter what circumstance you're going through, praise God. No matter what you're being confronted with, no matter what obstacle you are facing, just say, glory be to God. And see if it doesn't bring you closer to Him, but it'll also impact you physically, and you will sleep like a baby. Your immune system will be built up. Why? Because you're in the will of God. So let's not wait until this time of the year next year, because we have no idea what 2021 holds. Who had an idea that 2020 was going to be like this? None of us did. So let's start practicing faithfully and regularly now, praising God, thanking God, having a grateful heart now, for this is the will of God. Who says amen to that today?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, In All Things. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts. Just click subscribe so you don't miss any future messages. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Next week, Charles Tapp begins the celebration of the Advent season with a reminder that in these difficult and chaotic times, our only true source of protection and refuge is from God. We hope you can plan to join us again next week as he shares a brand new message titled, The Stillness of God.